Welcome to Trinity Christian Ministry, where faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross is our guiding principle. And now, let's join the Trinity Christian Ministry family as we hear the uncompromised Word of God from our pastor, Thurman Fuchs.
The eagle has some wonderful characteristics. When an eagle gets very worn from life, he withdraws to a place that is hidden and where there is fresh water. And while he's there, he doesn't hunt because his beak has become dull and his claws are as well. In other words, he's too tired to fight and too beaten down to fend for himself. That's a great place to be. So it just said he goes to a place that's hidden. For us, that's our secret place. As we should. We should go out. And then he drinks fresh water as we drink the living water. The Word of God. Look, so not hunting and no food is a fast, which tells us something. We need to fast. We need to fast just like the eagle does. Look, and while so doing, his feathers molt and fall out. His beak also breaks off, as even so his claws and talons do likewise. He's now broken. He is in the best position to be repaired when we're broken. When we broke it, we give up. We stop trying to fight on our own. When we broke it, we let it go and we give it to you, God. When we broke it, he says we should mount up like eagles. We need to do what the eagles do. Watch this. Look. Where was I? He's now broken. He's in the best position to be repaired. Then as he begins to drink this fresh water, which for us is the Word of God, then a wonderful transformation begins to take place. His feathers grow back. His beak becomes like new, like second teeth. His talons grow and are sharp once again. This is why the scripture, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength as an eagle. While you're waiting, it may seem like nothing is happening, but you're being renewed day by day. You're being sharpened. God is preparing you. God is putting you in a better position than where you were when you first got to you. God is taking you and making you ready. While you're going through, just know I'm being prepared for something. While I'm going through, God, you're making me better than I was at first. While I'm going through, you're making me better. Look, it doesn't stop here. For underneath the eagle's wings are pockets of oil, which he breaks and anoints himself, and he shines and glistens like the sunlight, like a child of God who's been anointed with his fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. Now shine a light to a dying world. We're now looking good to people. You now walk into situations that are dead, and people say, you look good. They don't know what it is, but it's the anointing that's all over your life. That's what's happening to you at that point in time. Look. Then the eagle goes to the edge of his high place. He goes to the edge of his high place. Look, and does not flap his wings, but waits on the current of the wind to lift him up. He don't do a thing. See, with God, it's effortless. We don't have to try to do nothing when God is involved. All he does is go right there and wait. God sends that wind, and he just goes on God. Not on my effort, but I go out on God only. I don't need nobody to push me off. I don't need nobody to help me. I just wait for you, God, to do it. When God does it, it's done right. Thus, we simply say the eagle mounts up. Look, and I wrote my notes now for the good part. If that wasn't good enough for you, now for the good part. Look at the good part. Another quality that the eagle possesses is the ability that other birds don't have. sound familiar? We have abilities that other people don't have when we're on this side. Amen. Look, he has special eyelids that drop down, and with these, he can fly directly into the sun, and his enemies cannot pursue him. Hey, 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 we possess the same quality in that when the enemy pursues us and we feeling downtrodden, all we have to do is fly to the Son of God. While he flying to the Son, we gonna fly to the Son of God. And the enemies cannot pursue us. They can't touch us when we flying to the Son of God. We are now you messing with the wrong one. You better off messing with Thurman. But when you messing with God's child, you in trouble. I fly straight to the Son. And God protects me. It's none of me. It's nothing that I have to do. I fly straight to the Son of God. The enemies get up to the door. Now, I done ran and hid right behind the cross. And he didn't know. And he run up and he go, oh, my, it's Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, what? That enemy at your job, as long as they seeing Jesus, guess what? Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. You're putting them in a bad spot. They're coming up and going, oh, my goodness. Look, look, look. Go back to Mark chapter 38. I'm almost finished. Look, look. Look. Verse Mark, where Mark? Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Shall mount up as eagles. Shall mount up as eagles. That's what we're going to do. Next time you read that, understand what you're mounting up to be. Understand what's happening in your life. Understand what God is doing to you. Understand that there's a transformation that's taking place in your life. Understand that you're not going to come out this thing the same way that you was at first. You're going to come out totally different than you were. Amen? So look, next time you see the eagle, oh boy, And look. Eagles have the ability to fly higher than most birds. That's what we're supposed to do. All this little petty stuff that's going on, we got to get above it. Rise above it. Rise above it. 438, look at this. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now let me let you understand what happens right here. See, there's different prayers that take place as Christians. Certain prayers have changed. You know, you got the prayer when you say, hey, God, you know, I just want a new job and, you know, I'm just going to wait and be patient for you. All the days of my life will I wait till my change comes. When the plane is about to go down, you have a different prayer. Excuse me, dude. Hey, geez, God, look. Not sure if you see what's going on down here. I'm going to need you to get a couple of angels. And I'm going to need them on both. Really, right now, there's no time to be. We have to. I'm in a trouble mood. That's the type of prayer we were in. Amen. And this is what they were coming to Jesus. He's like, man, you sleep? Water coming on a boat? And with water coming on a boat, we ain't by shore, something's going to happen. We going down. And I don't reckon they knew how to swim. Not sure if they even thought about that at that point, but this is where they were. Look at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, the first question is, why are you so fearful? Jesus is saying the same thing that you find in 2 Timothy verse 1 and 7. Don't turn, look at your monitor. He says, for God have not given us the spirit of fear. That's not God. When fear shows up, that is not of God. That is the enemy. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The enemy wants us to walk around fear, worrying about things. The disciples were fearful, and they had Jesus with them. Now, we have Jesus with us as well, but they had him with them in the physical. So when you see this fear to come, you know it's the enemy because I got Jesus with me. How in the world could they be fearful? They should have been going down like, hey, Jesus, got something I need you to go up here and take care of. I'm going to be up here waiting when you get up here. Matter of fact, you don't even need to come up here. Just do what you do from down here, and I know the water just going to take or go away. That's what they should be doing. Guess what? That's what we should be doing. Hey, God, look, they tripping at work again, God. I need you to go ahead and handle that. I'm going to go ahead and go in. I'm going to go ahead and punch in. They talking about the contract is ending and I don't have a job coming. Look, God, I'm going to punch in because I just don't have that kind of time. I know you have this. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. There's no need for me to worry about it, God. So I'm just going to roll. Why are you so fearful? God has not given us the spirit of fear. So if you get the spirit of fear, who is that? That's the enemy. And we're not falling for it, amen? The next thing Jesus said to them is, how have ye no faith? Why is he saying this? This question is directly related to the first thing that he said prior to the trip in verse 35. Go back up to verse 35. And the same day, when even was come, even at 6 o'clock, he said unto him, let us pass over to the other side. That's what he said. He did not say, let us see if we can make it over. He said, let's try to make it over. He said, let us pass over the other side. Look, we may run into obstacles along the way. There may be trouble that comes along the way. You might have issues that come along the way while you're trying to cross over to the other side. But the Bible tells me that I'm going to make it to the other side. He said, let us go over to the other side. He didn't say, let us try. So when God, and here's the biggest thing, it was in his will for us to make it across to the other side. It was in his will. We prayed about the vacation before we went. So if I prayed about it, I'm in your will. So if it goes down, I went down in your will. But I don't think you gave me this promise about this church to go down in some plane. So let us get over to the other side. This is just some turbulence in your life. It's just a little trouble going through. And listen, this stuff is so much built upon how you do things. I'm getting ahead of myself. Just remember that. I'm going to tell y'all that in a minute. Listen, we just need to exercise the measure of faith. I don't care how bad things look or how much water is in your boat. As long as you have breath in your body, you have hope. Abraham had hope. God promised that he would be the father of many nations. Look at your monitor. Romans 4:18, it says, who, talking about Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He was no longer in a position to even have children. His body, he didn't consider that. You're not supposed to consider your negatives. You're not supposed to consider the things that you look down on. Because those things are weaknesses. And when you're weak, that's when you're strong. Look, he considered not his own body now dead, but when he was about 100 years over, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't even worry about what his wife's situation was. God said it. And that settles it. Look at the next verse, verse 20. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promises of God. In what? Through what? Unbelief. We did a long study on unbelief. Staggered not. Staggering. Look. Unbelief. What that looks like is a double-minded man. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He staggered not. That means regardless of what was going on, this is what you said. I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize. I don't care what stands between me and back there. I'm going to keep pressing. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how weak it looks. I don't care how bleak it looks. I don't care about all the naysayers in your head. I don't care about anybody saying anything. Just take one step and take the next step, the next step, the next step, and don't give up. Don't stagger at the promise that God gave you. If God said it, that settles it. It settles it. But we're strong in faith, giving glory to God. Look, verse 21, and being what? Fully persuaded. Look, that's the thing. The first one was unbelief. This word says, I'm fully persuaded. That means you have done enough for me. Aaron stood up here and said, if you won't do nothing else for me, you've done enough. That means he should be fully persuaded already. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's the God we serve. We don't serve no God that's going to give you something and take it back. Listen, God gave you guys a church that you could feel comfortable with. He's not going to take that back. That plane was flying on his promise. That was on his promise, not just to me, but us all, that we could have a safe haven, that we could have a place that you can come to where the word will be rightly divided. This is what God was looking for. Now I said, we're going to talk about those other little ships around. We need to understand the impact we have on situations. These other little ships were there because they wanted to hear Jesus speak. Remember, what happened was these other little ships got into the position because while it was so many people on land, those of us who had ships, when he pulled off, they said, well, let's go a little closer. So he didn't just have an audience of people around him. He had the people around him, and then he had the ships placed around him as well. Now, when they pushed off, then they was like, man, what y'all gonna do? I ain't got nothing else to do. I'm going with Jesus. So they pushed off too. Now, here's the thing. How bad you want to be with Jesus when the storm come in your life? These other little ships was there. And my point about these other little ships, now when the storm started, these other little ships were being tossed back and forth as well. So much is happening. They're fearing for their lives. And all this depends on how Jesus reacts to the situation. People are always watching to see how we react as Christians. Everybody on this plane is looking to see what everybody else is doing. Now, in particular, in my particular situation, I'm sitting there and Carson's on my right looking out the window. Not no more. He now looking very, very scared. Colleen is on my left. Colleen just put her arm around my arm and just put her head down. I look over at the twins. Twins was on the other side on the same row. They had their head down. But one of the things I recognize about my family was you train your children up in the way they should go. Because when I asked each and every one of my children what they were doing at the time, all three of them said they were praying. All three of them said they were praying. I said, Carson, what did you pray? He said, God, please don't let this plane fall out the air. The twins say we just was praying that he'd get us home safe. I looked at my wife. She was praying, and I just went on out in the middle of it all. And I said, God, you protect this plane and everybody on it. People are watching you to see how you're going to respond. Do you really trust this Jesus that you say you know and love, or are you going to punk out when trouble comes? Are you going to throw in the towel when trouble comes? It's the same thing that's happening on your job. People are watching you. People are watching your response. How you're going to do this? Are you going to still proclaim from the rooftop, this God, this Jesus that you've been proclaiming all this time, or are you going to now bail out on him? Now, the people are watching. Listen to this. Look at 1 Peter chapter. No. Don't turn. I'm sorry. Don't turn. Look at the monitors because I want us to stay there. Look at the monitors. It says 1 Peter 3 and 13. It says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? 14 says, but and if ye suffer for righteous' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Listen, it doesn't matter what people are saying, what you're going through, what they're trying to kill you, they're trying to take this. Look, if it's being done, but if you suffer for righteous' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror. If this is for righteous' sake, it's cool. You're just finding yourself in fellowship with the suffering of Jesus Christ. You're just getting a tinge of what he went through up on that cross. It says, happy are you at this point in time in your life. Look, neither be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't even let it bother you. Do we have verse 15? But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And here's my point. And be ready when always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. Not all haughty, because my God is not what? With somebody would around here do something to me. That's not what he want us to do. With meekness and fear. No, I'm just trusting in the living God. That's what I'm doing. Though they slay me, yet will I trust them. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let this thing affect me in a way that I'm not going to be able to. God won't allow me. I won't have an excellent spirit before God. Isn't that what Ronnie said last week? Look at Mark 37. And there arose a great storm of wind. I'm almost finished. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And it was, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, one thing we know is our Father cares for us. It may seem like he's asleep on the job and not there, but this is never the case. He said in Joshua 1:9 on your monitors, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he ain't sleeping, he ain't gone nowhere. 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. So don't say, do he care for me? Oh, he cares for you. Amen. Just cast what's going on in your life to him and he'll take care of it. Look at Matthew, don't turn, Matthew 11:28. Up here says, come unto ye, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All I got to do is cast it on him. So no, he's not asleep. You might think he's asleep, but he ain't asleep. Turn to Psalms 121, and we're going to end right here. Psalm, the 121st Psalm. Told you I'd cry. We made that obvious this morning. Look, just to let you know for sure, he's not asleep. He's just going to give us some instructions along the way on what to do. Look at verse 1. 121:1. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help come from the Lord, which have made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. But here's what I want you to see. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He ain't sleeping on you. Verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel, that's us, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall smite thee by day and the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This is what we were on. When you on your troubles in life, when things are going on in your life, you're going to be fine. Mark 4:39, you don't have to turn there. It says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. When Jesus shows up on the scene, he rebukes your wind, your storm, your problem, and says to you, peace, be still. And your problem has to submit, and there's a great calm in your life. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. God got us. It don't matter what's going on in your life. He's going to protect you. You will get to the other side. And guess what? I praise God.
Thank you for joining Trinity Christian Ministries worship service. We invite you to join us from 10 a.m. to noon every Sunday for our worship service. Bible study begins at 7 p.m. every Wednesday evening. Our address is 5847 Allentown Road, Camp Springs, Maryland. We are near Andrews Air Force Base. Our phone number is 301-374-9626. That's 301-374-9626. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.tcm-md.org. That's www.tcm-md.org. Thank you for joining us. May our Lord richly bless you, and we look forward to seeing you real soon.